One. Hello, Red Wave. Welcome to Beware of Bulldogs, the show where we talk Fresno State athletics. That's it. That's all we do. We talk Fresno State athletics. We're your hosts, Caleb and Caleb, keeping it easy for you. I'm Caleb Nail. That's Caleb Pletz. Today, we have a packed show for you today. We're talking baseball. We got some football prime time that we need to talk about. We're gonna catch up with softball, water polo, golf. We're gonna do all that stuff, and then over unders win totals were released today by FanDuel, so we're gonna get to that as well. But first, if you're not in the chat, if you're listening a day after, we go live every Monday, 7 p.m. on Instagram and X. So you can follow us on YouTube. You can follow us on YouTube. Beware of Bulldogs. Hit the notification bell, comment, and make sure you jump in the chat so that you know when we go live. And same with X. Hit that notification bell, and it'll let you know when we go live. Today, 10 minutes late. So we call that schnail time in the nail family. But better late than never. Before we get into all the Fresno State stuff, though, Mr. Pletz, how are you, man?
Doing pretty well. And, you know, these days for us too, 10 minutes late is doing pretty well with a newborn in tote. So, no complaints from me here, but yeah, thank you to everyone tuning in and listening later. But I feel like we haven't done like a proper thank you to everyone lately, for sticking with us post football, because we know a lot of our fans are mostly here for football, but, yeah, we also have basketball and football and softball and a little bit of water polo sprinkled in too. So yeah, thank you to everyone who listens and also interacts with us on X. I feel like that's kind of the most fun, is like, you know, kind of building our community on there too.
Yeah, we have a good time with you guys. So honestly, thank you. Caleb, wait till your kid's 2 years old and has pooped his diaper and is rolling around in it, and you have to be somewhere in 10 minutes. Yeah. it's a good time. Pure joy. Absolutely love kids. If you can, Lord willing, have more kids, Caleb, because I got one more. So I mean, I need you to have one more. They need a he/she is going to need a buddy. So, I see you. Bulldogs Bob is here. What's going on, Bob? Good to see you here. If you're in the chat, let us know where you're watching from. I don't think the solar flare. I think the solar flares are done. So hopefully my internet connection is better, if that's a thing. I don't know. But I've been struggling over the past couple days, and I was looking it up, and there was some solar flares going on. So, I don't know. I'm going to blame it on that. That's what I'm going to do. Let's get into baseball, Caleb. We are in quite the predicament. Once again, Mountain West baseball does not disappoint. If you like entertaining sports, this is the conference to keep up with, because right now, nothing is set in stone. Yes, Fresno State is tied in first place in the Mountain West. We play Air Force this weekend. We don't want to jump too far ahead. We get Bakersfield Tuesday. We get Air Force at Air Force, three games, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. If we get swept, Caleb, we'll talk about this, because we need to talk about the UNLV game over the weekend, UNLV series over the weekend. But if we get swept, there's a long conversation that needs to be had, because there's no promise still about this baseball team. You know, actually, from what I was looking at, and I could be totally wrong, someone correct me if I am, but we could miss out if we don't win a game. And yeah. And stars align for other teams.
Right. Yeah, I think it is a far cry, but considering where this team was a month ago, this is kind of a crazy situation to be in, where we were pretty sure the Dogs were going to run away with a regular season conference title, and quite the contrary for the past a couple weeks. I think that the ship is starting to be righted this weekend. You know, the Dogs got good performances from Jake Dixon and Noah Beal on Friday and Saturday to kind of get everything back under control, and enough offense there. Sunday is a different story. We can, you know, get more into that when we talk about each game. But as long as the Dogs win one game this weekend, they're in for sure. That's their way of controlling their destiny. If they do get swept, there is still ways that they get in because they do own some tiebreakers still. But I guess, you know, this is what most people want at the end of the season, is for these games to be important. And I mean, we have San Jose's taking on New Mexico, and Nevada is taking on San Diego State. So San Diego State's been towards the bottom of the conference this year, but they swept the Dogs, and I think they got one away from Air Force. So, they aren't going down easy. And so in terms of who's going to be 1 through 4, on Saturday of next week, once all the games are concluded, I have no idea. It really could be, any which way.
If we just won one game in that San Diego State series, would be a different story. Mm-hmm. let's talk about this past weekend. Dogs played UNLV. Excuse me. They took 2 out of 3. Friday game ended 5-1 Dogs. Saturday 4-3 Dogs. And then Sunday 16-10 to UNLV. How you score 10 runs in a game and not win is beyond me, but it happened, and we'll get there. But Caleb, let's start with the Friday game. Dogs win 5-1. Jake Dixon gets the win. He had the start too. We saw Aiden Crimero. He pitched 5 innings, 88 pitches in 5 innings. Aiden came in, Victor and Tommy came in the last inning. At the plate, not bad. Rocco showed up, had a bomb. Ben Newton had a good day. Murph Gray actually had a pretty good series. But talk to me. You can start Friday if you just want to mix it all together. That's fine as well.
Yeah, I think one of the guys that I was, pleased with this week, and that's kind of turning around a bit, was Murph, like you mentioned. Yeah, I think he was 2 for 3 on Friday, and then with a couple RBIs, and then Sunday, granted it was a bit of a crazy town there with a lot of balls leaving the park, but 4 for 5 day on Sunday for Murph. So overall, I think that's a good step for him to, be a contributor here in the next, hopefully multiple weekends. And so that was good to see. But yeah, for Dixon to kind of get back on track and, quality start with, going, 5, he pitched a couple in the 6th, but the bullpen was able to hold it down. And so I do think that, for the most part, that the bullpen, we have like 4 guys that I think are really solid. I think Cremarosa is good. He's nails late in game, throws hard. Victor Arreola is really good. I mean, we know what Hoffy can do, and lately his ex statster has been coming in and throwing some clutch innings and getting the Dogs out of jams. So overall, I do think things are happening in the right direction, but my concern going forward is going to be our 3rd and 4th starter, because in conference tournament, we're going to have to win 3 games at least. And I think it's just 3 games. But regardless, it could be, we're getting into a 4th game if, in the double elimination. So having Jake Riding have a good performance and then possibly Jack Anker starting a 4th game. Those guys were not sharp on Sunday, both giving up several home runs and, leaving balls up and getting punished. So kind of a winding answer there, but just overall, that's kind of the general thoughts on the weekend.
Yeah. Game 2, it was a walk-off home run by McKernan in the bottom of the 9th to win it. Oh, a lot of fun. I believe that was his first homer of the season as well.
I think it was. I think it's his 2nd of his career though. So I think he's homered before, but very surprising. And really happy for him, especially on senior weekend, for a guy who's kind of struggled at the plate for most of the season, but it's been phenomenal defensively. But just to come up and you know, it's got to be demoralizing for the opponent when, you know, the nine hole guy is hitting the walk off home run on the first pitch. So, but yeah, that was good for McKernan to come through. And I mean, when you have this many experienced guys and McKernan being a senior, I mean, those are the kind of guys that, you know, you expect to step up in big situations.
Yeah. Beal got the start, went six and he went about six. I gave up three runs, five strikeouts on 88 pitches. I mean, once again, Statzer came in relief, did great. Victor Arriola got the win on this one. But once, you know, no appeal, no decision, but I thought he looked fine. He looked good. He did a good job. And then to the crazy game on Sunday, where I think there were about a million home runs hit in this game. I think we gave up six. One, two, three, four, five, six. Yes, we gave up six. UNLV hit six bombs. We hit four. It's just, I mean, and then like you brought up the pitching, just wasn't good. Jake pitched one inning, gave up seven earned. Then Jacob Acosta came in and pitched three innings, gave up four. Statzer came in, pitched an inning, did great. Got through it in 13 pitches. Then Anchor came in, pitched about two innings, gave up five. And in two innings, he threw 40 pitches. And then Aiden came in at the end, and he was fine. He was okay. But I mean, pitching was really the issue on Sunday, and you already talked about it, so I don't want to hit on it too much. But you know, our later day guys are really going to have to be money if we want any shot at going deep into the postseason.
Definitely. And, you know, this game started off in a weird way with pitching coach Troy Buckley getting ejected. And I think it was either first or second inning. And once that happened, it's like, okay, this is going to be a weird game, just because I think it's pretty rare that a non-head coach is going to get ejected from a game. So it was interesting, though, on the broadcast, you know, Leffler did point out that I guess the home plate umpire from this game was the same guy. I was calling the balls and strikes at San Jose State earlier in the season when the Dogs lost in controversial fashion when I guess Bobby Blanford got hit by a pitch, but the ump ruled that he intentionally got in the way of the ball, and that ended the game. So I think a lot of people are making connections there that this guy's got it out for the Dogs, and who knows, maybe he does, maybe he doesn't. But yeah, definitely a chippy game, and you know, with you know, the wind gusting and you know, pitchers leaving balls over the plate and up in the zone. I mean, more home runs than I think I've ever seen in a game at Peabody Field. So very, very bizarre. And, you know, one that the Dogs are going to want to wash. You could also argue that UNLV was due. I mean, the Dogs had won 11 in a row against UNLV. So it was, the Dogs were bound to drop one. But so now, yeah, Ryan Overland is now 11-1 in his career as a head coach against UNLV, which is a pretty good start to a career.
Yeah, not bad. And to score 10 runs on that loss, man. But that's how it's been this year. Our offense has been no joke. We just got to figure out pitching. Let's get to the Red Wave. I saw Bob did bring up the fact you brought up about the umpire and the guys calling balls and strikes. He says that Bulldogs Bob's, this umpire crew hates Fresno State. Don't forget what they did to Rocco the day before. Oh, Rocco was ejected for, I believe they said, running over the catcher.
Yeah. So I forgot to mention that. I did watch the play live on the Mountain West Network. And yeah, it was very funny because Coach Batesel, he was being honored that day and he was there and he was actually on the broadcast with Paul. As that play happened. So he was irritated because he said, that's a baseball play. It shouldn't be a penalty, but the catcher was blocking the plate. Rocco didn't make an attempt to get around him. Supposedly if Rocco would have tried to get around him, he would have been, I guess, awarded the base for catcher interference, but he did not. He decided to go through the catcher, which fair enough. I'm sure that's how he grew up playing baseball. It's kind of newer changing of the rules to kind of get rid of railroading the catcher. So He was ejected and had to sit out Sunday, which, you know, we should point out too. So very, very strange. And, you know, Bronco is just a big part of this team, and just like personality wise and getting the guys fired up. So to be without him Sunday, I'm sure that played a role too.
Yeah. We missed Rocco Sunday. And, shoot, you got this happened a couple years ago, this rule change in baseball. Now they're getting rid of the hip drop tackle and in football. What I don't get, Caleb, the millennials are ruining everything. I think it's the millennials changing the rules. I don't know. I could be wrong. But that's our generation. The softies. I don't.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, people are worried about concussions, I guess, which is valid. But, you know, you're signing up to play a game where you're throwing a ball 100 miles an hour at someone's head. So that's just part of the concern, I think.
If you and I made it out of it, Caleb, we're going to be okay. I mean, I didn't make it out of it. I got hit in the head way too many times, as you could tell. But you made out just fine. According to the standings, Caleb, I think we'll take one in Air Force. But the last time I was confident, we got swept by San Diego State. So I'm afraid to say anything. I'm not going to say anything. But knowing the boys on this team and the coaching staff we have, they're getting fired up to play because nothing is guaranteed. And I do have to say, college baseball is one of the most underrated sports in the world. It's very exciting, and it helps, and it's even more exciting when the conference championship comes down to the last weekend. So it's going to be a lot of fun. The last home game is Tuesday. So if you're listening to this before Tuesday night or first pitch, make sure you head over to Fresno State and watch the boys. That's the last time you're going to be able to see them play at home, because then they travel to Colorado to play Air Force. Anything else on the baseball side of things?
I think the only thing that I'm concerned about is, you know, Jake Riding going on, you know, the third game of the series, which this week's going to be Thursday, Friday, Saturday, just to give everyone, I think, an extra day in between the conference championship. So, I mean, I think Paul mentioned it on the broadcast. Riding's given up, I think he said, like 18 home runs on the year, which is like by far leading the team in a category you don't want to be leading the team. So playing at altitude at Air Force that's concerning, because, you know, a lot of opportunity for home runs there. So between him and Anchor giving up several home runs yesterday too, I'm a little worried about that third game with whoever Overland's going to throw out there to start. So offense is going to need to keep up, because I think it's going to be another high scoring weekend. But like you said, I think between Beal and Dixon, I think that we're going to get at least one good start, you know, between the two of them. I don't know who it's going to be, but I think that, you know, they're both experienced seniors, and, you know, one of them is going to bring their A game and do enough to get the Dogs a victory.
The scary part is when we have to add, we don't know who it's going to be, but we think.
Yes, exactly.
Bulldogs Bob adds, don't forget the NCAA and the pros don't want to get sued when talking about concussions and things like that.
True. The lawyers are always getting involved.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's easy money right there. All right, a couple things in the commitment world of football and basketball that I want to run through really quick, Caleb, and then we'll talk more about the football schedule and win totals and things like that. In basketball, I don't believe we covered it last week. I think this happened during the week. If not, you're going to hear it a second time. Sorry. 7-1 center from Hawaii, Moore Sec, has committed to Fresno State. Athletic guy, watched his highlights. Should be a lot of fun. And then Elijah Price. He's from Long Beach, but he was at Drake. So he's long, 6'9", 200 pounds. Caleb, we talk about it every week, I think, because we have one or two recruits that commit to the basketball program. Long and athletic. That's what Wahlberg's bringing in. I mean, I think every guy has been about 6'8" coming in here and can jump out of the gym. So very long. I mean, wingspans, our guys are long wingspans, and every highlight reel I see, granted, it is a highlight reel, but they're taking off from the middle of the key, tomahawking it, all these guys. So there's a style of player that we are seeing the Wahlberg and his staff bring in that, frankly, I'm excited for.
Oh, absolutely. I think that it's, you know, Wahlberg's doing a great job of, you know, building this team. And obviously it's a lot of hype, like you said, and, you know, it's easy to get excited about a highlight reel. But I mean, if we think about some of the challenges that the last two seasons under Hutt that the Dawgs had, was usually being undersized and undermanned, you know, because if, you know, dealing with injuries to, you know, being kind of thin at center and, you know, throwing out, you know, Colomario as like our center in a couple games, and he's what, I don't know, 6'7" maybe. So I think to have some consistent size coming in and having everyone being a little bit more physical of a presence, I think is going to be really good. And yeah, I think that the thing I like about Price too is he has a lot more eligibility. I think he's still got 4 years of eligibility. I think he redshirted this year at Drake, if I'm not mistaken. So I like that. You know, we're not just kind of taking 1 year guys, and hopefully he's a piece that, you know, Wahlberg can continue to build around. So hopefully these commitments keep trickling in here. It looks like there's, I mean, at least what, 4 or 5 scholarships open. Like, I don't know who from the remaining or the Hutt holdovers are under scholarship. I don't know that, but definitely we still need some more bodies on that bench.
Yeah. And there, I am seeing posts on Instagram and things like that on Twitter about guys that we are talking to and we're in the hunt for. So there's still very much a possibility that we're going to get more coming in. And I hope so, because we need more players. On the football field, we got another wide receiver, Caleb.
No concerns about depth there. We are loaded at wide receiver.
Preferred walk-on, Jake Parnagian, who is from here. He went to Clovis North. He was a preferred walk-on at Washington, entered the transfer portal, is now coming back home. So welcome back, Jake. We're happy to have you. We talked wide receiver room and what they're doing in the transfer portal last week, Caleb. Nothing changes this week. That's who we're getting. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, I mean, what I read about this guy is I think he also ran track at Washington, so it seems like he's another burner of a guy. So I think to have more options returning and just to have depth at the slot position. And I mean, it kind of seems like McCann's going to just leave it up for a competition. You know, who's going to compete their way into playing time. And I think that's a good problem to have, is a lot of guys wanting to compete for a couple spots. So hopefully everyone is, you know, putting their best foot forward and we're getting the best Bulldog out there on the field to compete for us.
I think we are. Bulldogs Bob says wide receiver you. I can't disagree with that. That's it's true. I don't care what LSU has to say. I also want to add in Deegan Rose, the quarterback. Is he Clovis High quarterback?
Yeah, Clovis High School.
Yeah. He's getting offers from everywhere now. I want to read something that I got from a friend of mine who is very connected to high school athletics. He says he's going to keep getting offers. He's the most raw quarterback I've seen on the high school level in the Valley since Martinez with Clovis West. That's what he said.
Wow.
He's level-headed. His poise is insane. Can't wait to see what he's going to do as an upperclassman. And then I got an invite to go watch him this season. Maybe. Am I back?
You are back now.
All right. I'll take you up on the offer, Matt. Thank you. Anyways, but I saw Auburn came in. You know, I Cole and I spoke with Jake Crane, who's an Auburn guy. And then for some reason, the next day, our top quarterback has an offer from Oregon. I mean, from Auburn. Auburn, stay away. Stay away. Good for the kid. I'm happy about it. I'm happy for all all of our kids having success here. But I'm biased, and I want every player to stay here. I'm not going to lie. I would love that.
Also,
I don't know.
A lot can happen with him. I mean, he's going into his junior season. I think he's a class of 26. So, I mean, with a lot of this recruiting stuff, it's very interesting that, you know, the coaches are really betting on how they're projecting the player. And, I mean, growth spurt or gain 50 pounds, I don't know. A lot can happen, you know, between summer before junior year and stepping on a college campus.
Correct. Correct. And who knows where our NIL goes after we stomp some Wolverines in the big house. So right. That'll be fun. real quick to the red wave over here. Sam Droid 559. Big surprise from Sam. Softball pitchers. That's what we need. Yeah, Sam, we're going to get there. I'll shout you out again. Don't worry. And then Bulldogs Bob says, Teddy is a quarterback guru and Fresno State has been good for his entire life. So Rose, stay home. I agree. I second that. All right, Caleb, let's talk about what's going on in the football world when it comes to this upcoming season. Not recruits and everything, but right now, what do we know? August 31st of 2024. It's the first game on the schedule. Fresno State is playing the Michigan Wolverines. Came out today that we're going to be on primetime television on NBC at 4:30 Pacific, so 7:30 p.m. Eastern. That's the night game on NBC at 4:30 here. Kill, that's huge. That's massive. I know the Red Wave is traveling. I hear it from almost everybody I talk to that they're going. It could be a once in a lifetime deal to go there and watch Fresno State play. Now we're going to tack on millions of people. I'm excited for this, Caleb. Talk to me about what was your initial reaction when you saw this?
Initial reaction was concern because I feel like the dogs playing in the big house during the day, they have a better shot at winning. Like prime time, like, I don't know, like the lights are different and, you know, it's an intimidating stadium. The fans are going to have an opportunity to drink all day and even more ruckus than usual. I don't know. So honestly, it was like, dang it. I kind of wanted this to be a day game because I feel like it would go better for the dogs. But all that being said, really cool opportunity. And yeah, national prime time. This isn't going to happen very often. So especially against a defending national champion. So very cool opportunity. And I mean, Red Wave definitely has no reason to not watch the game because, you know, you can catch it over the air with an antenna. So very, very cool opportunity for Fresno State.
It's going to be fun, man. My initial reaction was the same as yours. It was honestly, the words that came out of my mouth were, oh no. Exactly. I'm excited, but oh man. I think the last primetime night game was at USC. And it didn't go well for us. That's my guess.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it depends on what's primetime, like on, because was that game on ABC? Like, I don't know what it would have been on, or Fox, maybe. Maybe it was on Fox.
I don't know. Yeah. Here we go. Bulldogs Bob is way ahead of us.
Thank you.
Yep, game at USC in 2005 was at 7:30 p.m. on Fox Sports Net. Look at that. So, yeah. The dogs can play with anybody, and we're catching Michigan at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
This is, and I think because of that, there's going to be tons of excuses when we play, if we play them tight. Hope not. I mean, I hope there's not a lot of excuses. But I think this is a perfect opportunity. It's self-explanatory for Fresno State to get in front of the entire country, put our brand out there. You know, there's going to be stories. I'm sure they're going to come up with all these stories. You know, they're going to have the story on Mikey Keene and the defense and all these guys. So I'm excited for it. I think it's really good for the city of Fresno. It's really good for the school, and we have to capitalize on it. It's only going to get bigger if we win. Don't want to get there. Don't want to go there yet. But it should be a lot of fun.
Definitely. And you know, just to connect it one, like back to your conversation that you and Cole had with Jake Crane, the episode that came out the Monday morning, talking about Power Two and kind of a potential shifting. I mean, Fresno State at Michigan primetime. I mean, that is as good of an audition tape as the Dogs are going to get to justify and say, hey, we belong in the upper tier, because I think that most people would agree that Fresno State's kind of on the bubble with, you know, do they belong with playing with the big boys, or are they going to be stuck? Or I know I shouldn't be prideful about this, like you mentioned in the last episode, but like, are we going to be stuck with the leftovers from the Mountain West and Conference USA and Sun Belt and all that? So very good opportunity for Fresno State to put a good foot forward.
Yeah. Took down one Big Ten team last year. No reason why we can't do it again this year. Right. I'm excited. And we're going to have plenty of football coverage as we get closer. It's going to be crazy. I'm really excited. All right. Another thing I want to pull up, Caleb, is the over-unders. Actually, before we move to over-under win totals, let me get to the chat. No Fresno State football team will be afraid of going to Michigan, says Bulldogs Bob. Anybody, anytime, anywhere. Fire me up, Bob. If we win this game, this could be the breakthrough we have been waiting for. I totally agree. I think the stars are getting closer to aligning. This is make or break when it comes to... Well, let me just put it this way. I think this is going to heal a lot of wounds that happened after the Mejuri deal. I think a lot of people were hoping for that, for money to come in. If we win this game, no need for you to pay extra taxes. It's going to come in. So, and then Sam says, as long as the Dogs beat Boise for the championship, I'm good. That's another good point that I'm sure will come up as we go through the season, even before. All right, let's get to over-unders on the win total, Caleb. I want to pull it up on the screen here so that you can see what it says for everybody. Okay. Air Force, 5.5. Boise State, 8.5. Colorado State, 6.5. We Bulldogs, 7.5. Hawaii, 4.5. Nevada, 2.5. New Mexico, 1.5. We lost to them last year. This is a different team, though. UNLV at 7.5, which I think is fun to see, just because it's UNLV, and you know, we've talked a lot about them over the past couple of years. But let's talk about Fresno State win totals, Caleb. 7.5. This is from FanDuel, by the way. FanDuel win totals on the Mountain West. San Diego State, I should mention our rivals as much as I hate to. San Diego State, 4.5. San Jose State, 5.5. Fresno State, 7.5. What are you thinking, Caleb?
At least for Fresno State, it seems like easy over. Obviously, that assumes that the team stays healthy, and especially offensive line, and they figure something out. But, I mean, 8-4 seems very doable here. I mean, I think that in non-conference, I mean, 2-2 is probably realistic, and 6-2 in conference play is certainly realistic. And, hey, if the Dogs show up and take it to Washington State, who knows what kind of team they're going to have left over, you know, now that they're kind of a no man's land of P2, G5. So I think that there's a huge opportunity for Fresno State to, you know, go way over this, because obviously we're going to think that our team is going to be very good. But yeah, it seems a little bit low, but you know, they're probably also trying to entice you to bet it. So, I mean, I think the one that surprises me the most is New Mexico at 1.5. I mean, I think that, you know, bringing in Bronco Mendenhall, I mean, he was a very good coach at his previous stops. Like, he's going to put together a competitive team. So I'm surprised at how low that one is. And then the other one was San Jose State. I don't feel as confident about their new coach, Ken, and I don't remember his last name starts with an N, but guy from Navy. I just don't think that they're going to make a bowl this year, especially with, they lost a good amount of pieces. And I think Brent Brennan took a decent amount of the staff with him too. So I think that that's going to be a struggle, but with the transfer portal, who knows? I mean, we mentioned, or I said this before we hit record, that I'm not tracking the personnel for these teams yet. That's like a summer activity. So they could also have some studs that I'm not aware of that will show up in September. So who knows? Way too early, but gives us something to talk about.
Yeah, we prefaced this conversation with that. Caleb and I don't do our deep dive until the summertime. It's getting close, but we haven't done it yet. So this is all just kind of what we've seen off of social media posts and things like that. I did see one post, by the way, today. This was today I saw it, and I was putting two and two together. Hawaii, 4.5. It's not on the computer, unfortunately, so sorry, I can't show you guys. But it's the returning production as of May 13, which is today, nationwide. Hawaii is at 4.5. They are 7th in the country when it comes to returning production. They're returning 81% of their production.
Interesting.
Granted, Hawaii, not good in the first place, but there is something to be said about returning production. Boise State is next out of the Mountain West. They're 35th in the country. They're returning 68%. And then after them is us, Fresno State. We're ranked 51st in the country with 65% of our returning production. Well, I also think that's interesting. We avoid Hawaii and Boise, I believe, this year.
We face Hawaii. Yeah, we got Hawaii coming here, but we do not play Boise, nor do we play San Diego State.
Right. So, I don't know. You can take that with a grain of salt, however you want. But I think there's something to be said about Hawaii returning a lot of production. And then I know 8.5 and for Boise is, or everybody's high on Boise, but I don't see it. I don't see it, Caleb. New quarterback, new coach. They all love him. I get it. But it's easier said than done. It's going to be hard for them to put it together. So we'll do our research later in the year, and we'll get to we'll touch on this again as we get closer to the season and get all of our projections out there when it comes to Fresno State especially, and then we'll touch on Mountain West as well. I want to do a little bit more on betting lines this year, Kale. We'll see what we can do and if we're any good. No one follow us, by the way. Don't do what we're doing.
It's all just for fun, and I certainly am not spending my own real money on it. That's for sure.
He's spending my money. No, just kidding. Bulldogs Bob says, forget about Measure E and healing those wounds. It'll heal the wounds all the way from USC 2005. So, okay. I just wanted to bring up that returning production on the football rosters. I think it's fun. And 7.5 for Fresno State. I would smash the over right now. Maybe a little bias, but I would. I would. By the way, Air Force has one of the lowest returning productions in the country. They have the lowest in the country. We'll see though. They're always tough. I hate playing the triple option. All right, let's move on, Caleb. Let's touch on some of this postseason activity that happened in the women's sports world. We had the softball team play in the Mountain West Championship Tournament. We played Boise the first game. It's kind of like the playing, like a.
And it looks like we lost Nail. So now we'll get a little solo here. Oh, man, lost me too. Hang on. Okay. All right. Sorry about that, everyone. You know, Caleb's got his G5 Wi-Fi out there on the farm. So, yeah, unfortunately, softball gals took a tough loss in the opening round against Boise State. Granted, Boise did, go on to make it to the championship game against San Diego State, you know, who was the front runner coming in, but still a really disappointing way for the season to end for this Fresno State team. So definitely, wished it could have ended differently, but overall, still a pretty strong season for Fresno State. And, we did want to mention some stats. So thank you to follower Heather. So some appreciation for what softball has done. Team batting average increased to .313 overall compared to .262 last year. So that's a huge improvement. Win-loss record improvement. Dogs finished at 33-19 this year. Last season, 23-31. Team ERA improved to .293 compared to .390. So Sam Droid, I guess, the stats are showing it's improving a little bit, but obviously still a lot to be improved upon, for pitching depth going forward. But at least it's trending in the right direction. Fielding percentage stayed extremely strong at .966. And Heather also says the coaches are amazing. So that's coming from someone pretty close to the program. So I think that this team is trending back up in the right direction, because the softball, historically a really strong program for Fresno State. And so thankfully things are moving in the right direction. And, but like Sam says, we got to get some more depth at pitching. So recruiting, keeping that up, and, just another year with the same coaching staff, I think it's going to be pretty important for the softball gals. So we'll look forward to that next season and continuing to build on that success. So let's see. The last thing I think we had on the agenda, hopefully Nail can find his way back into the stream here. I don't know. He's must be dealing with it through the farm here. But the last thing that we want to touch on was golf. Men's golf started in the Stanford Regional today with, I believe, it was 16 other teams. And golf is struggling day one. So tied for 10th. And Nail has begun. He is back. Missed all the softball talk. So I'm already moved on to golf. So you can rejoin me here with golf. That
I will join back to golf. I might as well just go back to bed. No.
So right now, after day one, Fresno State men's golf and tied for 10th at 6 over. This is a team competition. So the leader right now, Illinois, 17 under. So they are on a heater today. So Florida State's in second at 13 under, and Stanford, the host, in third at 11 under. So the top five teams do advance beyond this regional. So right now, that'll be Illinois, Florida State, Stanford, Ole Miss, and Texas A&M. So those are top five right now. It is a three-day competition, though, so still some ground to be gained. But the boys are going to have a couple magical rounds after this to fight their way back, which never say never, but it's going to be tough after a performance like this. And I think the best round on the day, if I can pull it up, was Matthew Manganiello with a 3 under. So a very, very respectable day. I think both of us would love to be able to shoot 3 under on the golf course. But still two more days there for the guys to compete to hopefully extend their season.
Yeah, I hope you can hear me, Caleb. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Loud and clear, okay. Actually.
Okay, perfect. Everything's frozen on my screen. We'll just keep going. I think it's a computer problem. I would love to shoot whatever we shot. So it's hopefully they can make a game out of it next couple days. Have you talked water polo, Caleb?
We have not. I forgot about water polo, so you can bring us home.
Okay. Water polo lost its third game in a row to Cal in the first round of the postseason tournament of the Women's Water Polo Championship. We lost 14-7. Brutal. However, Cal did go on to make the national championship, and they lost 7-4 to UCLA. So Stanford, I'm looking at the scores here. UCLA won the national championship over Cal. But great season once again. But we've been saying it the whole season, Caleb. We're water polo school.
Yeah, absolutely.
We just, for some reason, we just didn't match up well against Cal. And it was a little bit of a slow start on that game, but they made a good game out of it. Sort of earlier on, they started slow, kind of made their way back, and then it just opened up. So anyways, I know you talked about softball. I did have some numbers on the softball season if you wanted to hear them.
If they're from Heather, I did share them already. So we okay. want to thank her again for providing them.
Thank you, Heather. And Sam, I may take up your offer for your son to come fix everything over here. So that doesn't happen again. We are guaranteed probably once a quarter that that happens.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always my fault. Always. Yeah, so you talk softball, we talk golf, water polo. I know volleyball had a game. I missed it. I didn't even realize it was volleyball season. I think it was just kind of a
really
tune-up game.
Oh, okay. Isn't that a fall sport?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know why they played, but they did. So I couldn't tell. I just saw it as I was running through everything. I remember seeing something a couple days ago, maybe a week ago, and I forgot to plug it in. So volleyball did play. You guys can check that out. But this weekend, big series for the baseball team in Colorado playing Air Force. Last chance to check them out at home is Tuesday. They play Bakersfield. Anything else, Caleb, that we need to touch on?
I think that just about does it. You know, a couple spring seasons coming to a close, and you know, for a lot of the athletes, it's kind of the end of their journey. Because I always remember the old Enterprise Rent-A-Car commercial. I don't know if you remember. Like 99% of us go pro in something other than sports. So we do want to thank and congratulate all of the, you know, Fresno State athletes that are graduating, you know, this year and, you know, moving on to, I guess, the professional world and away from athletics. So thank you for competing and representing the university well. And yeah, go Dogs.
Stay safe, stay healthy. God bless. And as always, you beat me to it. Go Dogs.
Go Dogs.